Talking about I change, but when I change, that shit's news to me. You ain't never asked for shit, and now you be asking, that's confusing me. I don't wanna think too much, but when I think of it, bitch, you using me. Same ones in my clique, cause they ain't switch, and they stay true to me. Diamonds in my brain, so fuck your chain and fuck your jewelry. Trying to change the game, cause niggas lame, but it's like pulling teeth. So I'ma let niggas drown. Conscious of all of my actions, I know it'll come back around. They hit my phone when I'm back in town. King of the city, I wear the crown. You niggas don't know your way around. They know that I'll get it figured out. Lately, it ain't too much to trip about. I talk to Funk on the regular, telling him I have it ready as soon as he getting out. Hey, man of my word, hand on the Bible for better or worse. Walk around looking for the heaven on earth. Until I find it, won't ever reverse on my life. Yeah. I'm back in my bed. So when they ask where I'm at, bitch, I'm right here at the top. Should've been here, it's overdue to me. Niggas talking about I change, but when I change, that shit's news to me. You ain't never asked for shit, and now you be asking, that's confusing me. I don't wanna think too much, cause when I think of it, bitch, you using me. Same ones in my clique, and they ain't switching, they stay true to me. Diamonds in my brain, so fuck your chain and fuck your jewelry. Trying to change the game, cause niggas lame, but it's like pulling teeth. So I'ma let niggas drown, I'ma let niggas drown.
Still tucked off, shorty on that L.O. I don't wanna see you niggas round. Tucked off, shorty on that L.O.
Just want all, you just want all, you just want all of me. I just want all, I just want all, I just want all of you.
And you gon' be the first person that I call when I touch down. Girl, you gon' be the first person that I call when I touch down.
Fresh off that plane, I hit you like what's good tonight. I know that body banging, your hair done and your pussy right. Who you dress up for when I'm out of town? You should FaceTime me before you go out so I could see that face. Make me wanna relocate, make me reevaluate everything. And every time I'm with you, it's like I need my issue right now. Right now, so here we are again.
You got something that belongs to me. You tuned in to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver's radio station. Thank you for waking up with us this morning. We're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here deep in the woods of Pacific Spirit Park. If you've never listened to the show before, what we like to do here, we like to talk a little bit of some local news here, some provincial news. Then we open it like wider to Canada in general. And then we talk about national news. And if you stay tuned for the whole hour, you might learn something. Occasionally we have some guests. might have a guest in today. We'll be sharing with you some new music all the time. That's what I like to do. And sometimes you just hear some interesting stories, or maybe listen to a story that you might know, or you might have heard of, or you might have thought about, you know, something that you were thinking about over the week, over last week, over the past 2 weeks, because I've been gone, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit. But sometimes you just might hear the words that you need to get through this Friday Eve, and then tomorrow Friday, and through your weekend, and if you want to sound a little smart. So before we get started, I think that it's imperative that you all pay some respects to Aretha Franklin. She passed away this morning, and it's when I think about Aretha Franklin, I think about cleaning my house on Saturday morning. However, when you think about like the lifespan of this, of one of the greatest singers to exist here in the States, you know, you think like she sang at MLK's funeral. She sang at Obama's inauguration. Like, this woman has, she's the, like the queen of soul. So you should, if you aren't familiar, let's say you are a British Columbian and you're like, you know, who's Aretha Franklin? And why should I check her out? You should definitely check her out. I have linked some music, but also you should just read, because she had an incredible life, and which is worthy of us paying respect here, not just today, but in the future. And like, you know, we like to get into the weather, and typically I use this as an opportunity to stunt on all of my listeners who do not live in the lower mainland here in British Columbia. But I really skipped over to this time. So I'm sorry that I had been gone for the past two Thursdays. I was traveling for work in Toronto. And so when you think of Toronto, you might think of, oh, it was really hot there. However, no, I wouldn't say suffered. It was really nice the first weekend there. It was Caravana. It was really nice. Went to some great parties. Went to the parade. I was able to see my sister. It was nice. If you've never been to Caravana in Toronto, you should check it out. It is, if you don't know what it is, it's a Caribbean festival that happens here in North America. I think it's the largest in North America. So definitely check it if you can. But throughout the week after that in Toronto, it was just raining. I think if you can, if you Google, you can see where the streetcars were underwater. And then for me to come back to BC, I was really missing the mountains and the ocean and just the fresh air. And when I land here, all I get is smoke from the forest fires, which has really been taking over the interior and like the landscape, as we know. This is also the second summer that they've issued a state of emergency. So that's not just the air quality, but the air visibility. If you are here, you can't see shit. And it can really, you can really start to feel the smoke. You can smell it for sure. It smells like almost like burning chocolate. But it's not like a good burn. It's like it just smells like ash really in the air. There's over 559 fires burning throughout the province, which is a little more than last year. However, while there's more fires this year, the human damage has been a little less. Like, I think there's like 10% of the homes have burned down that burned down last year. So at least people are being are a little safer. However, there is still a lot of danger, and the season doesn't look like it's going to get better before it's going to get worse. But the weather, it's really hard to tell, because the weather.com or really any other weather services aren't able to accurately calculate the temperature. So while it says it's supposed to be sunny and sunny throughout the weekend and a high of 26. What I know to be true is that's not true. It's not sunny. Like, you don't have to wear sunglasses. It's not because the sun is behind the smoke. However, if you are one of my pale-skinned friends, you should still protect yourself because you can't see the sun or feel the sun is still there and it will burn you. That's a pro tip from someone who doesn't burn, but I'm just trying to help you out. See, when here at Off the Beaten Path, we don't just look out. I don't just look out for people like me. Listen, we're looking out for everybody. Now, here in British Columbia, in the news, we know there's three things that really dominate the news cycle here. That's homelessness, homes, like home prices, and the pipelines. However, I don't know what has been going on for the past few weeks, but, you know, since I haven't been doing the show, what I like to do is I really like to read throughout the 2 weeks about just exactly like what is going on here. And while there hasn't been a lot of murders, there has been like a lot of bodies being found, which is really disturbing to me. And when you, there's no like one story that just talks about all of the different, all of the different things that have happened here that seem, I guess, seem like there was some foul play, because they don't talk about murderers. They just talk about bodies, and it's very alarming. Especially where it seems as if it's always a young woman, you know, being pulled out of some place. And if someone is listening who's got some type of power in that department, I feel like, or like, you know, a print journalist who maybe tunes into the radio while they're getting ready for work, or maybe they are at work just thinking about a story that they need to make public or talk about. I think that there's something there, because while I haven't read into it enough about what's going on, I just know what I see. And I can recognize the pattern. And the pattern just seems odd, particularly when you couple it with the stories that we've been hearing over the past few weeks as well, coupled with like these sexual assaults and other types of assaults, just violent assault. And then you hear about these bodies and it just makes you think, how is this all connected? So there is in Victoria, over the past week or 2 weeks, there has been over 50 lewd calls that have been reported. Basically, a man is calling stores all around Victoria and asking what time they get off. But if the woman answers, what time the store closes. But if a woman answers the phone, he immediately starts going into sexual, lewd conversations. And This is something that the police have been notified about, not just now, but like have been notified over time. And I'm just really trying to understand, like, why can't they just eliminate this person immediately or just find exactly what is going on? Because I could see how, like, I don't think this necessarily qualifies as a prank call, because of the nature, and I guess the intentions of the call are unknown. And like I was just talking about with these women being found, could potentially very, very dangerous. But what I'm not really following is how come they just can't find this person? I feel like we have the technology now. You know, we've had the technology for like 20 years, you know, with caller ID, but now the cell phone providers or the phone providers, the network, whoever does that, they should be able to really just say who is calling and where they're calling from. And really stop that, because people shouldn't have to deal with that at work. I feel that there's a lot of things that people shouldn't have to deal with at work, particularly women. And having someone call you and talk lewd to you on the phone is definitely one of those. And it just, like I said, it's just as these crimes become more highlighted and more talked about, we are seeing more and more people come forward with, we're seeing more and more people come forward with, like, not just complaints, but really trying to eliminate this type of behavior. And while for them, they might not be able to get any direct justice, I do think highlighting these stories and bringing them to people's consciousness and really gives people the power to step up and stop these things before it reaches the statute of limitations. Like, we have seen, there's a former BC naval officer who has practiced Chinese medicine and acupuncture and massage therapy here in BC, and he has been charged with 4 counts of sexual assault, as well as seemingly more to come. And I just think that every time someone comes forth, you know, and we do the right thing as people and listen to their stories, we can see that usually these things are not one-off and they are patterns, and there's more and more people that come. And so hopefully these women get the justice that they deserve, because people who abuse their power, I believe, people who abuse power will abuse power at any, I guess, junction. So we need to set a precedent that if you have power and you abuse it, you will be punished. As we get in to the next story, you'll hear about this, a cougar attacking a man and a boy, and you'll have to find out who I was rooting for when we get back from the musical break.
Fire from the world, I'm trying, I'm lost on the moonlight. Staying for the summer, staying for the summer. And while 6 feet under, and I got that number, color, color, keep falling, falling like carousel. On a brace hell, like I'm Tyrion and chainmail. Give me exhale, see the jaw drop, face melt like a base head. Libra scale, balance both sides, and she do it well, so well, so well, yeah. Raymond, ducking from the sun, doing okay then. All these feelings bottled inside, like a house dog, bounty on the outlaw. Sugar out the house, when we're playing off the foul ball. You can stick around, little girl, bring fire from the world. I'm trying, I'm lost, only murmurs. Find time, yeah, find time. I'm used to cutting the ties, okay. Pull up your pants, okay. Remember them rolling eyes, how they are fans, okay. Hanging from grapevines, she want the juice now. She want it all right. Get it from you now. Get it from you now. Little girl, drifting aside. Drifting aside.
You're back with Ultimate Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver's radio station. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. T-I-T-R. So, over this past week, I think this happened 2 days ago, there was a cougar who attacked a four-year-old boy in Lower Morrissey Creek area. So, a father and his two sons were out fishing, and I guess the father turned his back, and when he turned back around to, you know, keep eyes on his four-year-old kid, there was a cougar on top of him, and they kicked the cougar and threw rocks at the cougar until the cougar ran away. Now I just have I had a few questions. Like thinking about this, when I thought about the story, they talked about how they dispatched the BC Conservation Officers, and I don't know. It just seems a little fishy. It seems a little fishy. Like, how little do parents pay attention to their kids? Where we heard a few months ago, a child similar age was eaten by an alligator in Florida, close to Disneyland, and this story where this four-year-old was attacked by a cougar in the middle of the day. So this happened at 1 p.m. Like, it just brings to my attention just, like, one, how little do parents pay attention to their kids at all times? Like, I think, I'm not a parent. And so I feel like I have a realistic understanding that I don't have a kid probably because I don't pay enough attention to detail, where I feel that keeping a kid alive would be difficult. However, when you see some of the people who are parents today and have been parents and have kept people alive, you know, to reach adulthood, you're like, well, maybe it's not that difficult. But then when you hear stories like this where a cougar attacking a four-year-old, you're like, well, maybe it is that difficult. Like, you know, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, it really gives me hope, but then nature finds a way to take some of that hope back. So I just couldn't imagine what was going through this father's mind, you know, while this cougar was attacking his son. Like, I'm sure this father was able to fight the cougar off. However, I'm sure that there are some fathers that are just like, well, you know, shouldn't have been standing and, you know, getting attacked by the cougar, because the BC Conservation Office says that this attack was unprovoked. And I thought that was very like a questionable statement, because like, what could a 4-year-old kid do to provoke a cougar attack? Like, I don't know, could he wear this 4-year-old wasn't wearing his bacon pajamas, you know, so like it was totally unwarranted that this cougar would attack him. Like, it was, I don't really understand what that means. It also highlights this to show like how, like, could you like imagine like a 4-year-old, any other animal besides a human, would really have to defend himself in that situation. Like, I don't think like a 4-year-old dog's parent, 4-year-old dog's dad, unless you're one of those annoying people who considers like you a pet parent, but like a 4-year-old dog's father, I don't think is defending him from a cougar. Like, I feel like that would just end up two dead dogs. But like, you know, any other animal at 4 years old, like the animal's pretty grown. Like, that's a 28-year-old dog, you know. But 4-year-old human is pretty much useless in that situation. However, the BC Conservation Office deployed their predatory attack team to try to find this cougar. And there is the quote out of the Vancouver Sun, which I thought was very interesting. It says, "We were very successful on site. We were able to locate where the attack occurred. However, we were not successful in locating the cougar." Like, how does the Conservation Office define success? Because I feel that finding out where the attack happened is a low bar considering the four-year-old went to the hospital with puncture wounds and like scrapes and was probably bleeding. So, like, how difficult was it to find where the attack happened if it was bloodstained and the father presumably walked you to the location of where the cougar attack occurred? So I don't think, I feel like that's a pretty low bar for success. Not finding the cougar is totally fine with me. If you've listened to this show, you know that while I'm not rooting for the animals to win necessarily, I do root for a good competition. And a part of that competition is understanding that, hey, you know, at one point, an animal could come and get me and it could be a wrap. Like, I was riding my bike last night through the Greenway, and I was just thinking about, well, what if a bear attacked me, or, you know, a cougar had attacked me at that moment? If I wouldn't be able to fight it off, the cougar won, and I'm fine with that. Because, like, sometimes you just really have to look deep inside and understand that, you know, you just got to try your best. And that's what I want the animals to do, and that's what they continue to do. They continue to fight back and try their best and adapt. And there's a group in Canada. This is another headline, a head-scratching headline. Canada geese, often not given credit for being as smart and adaptable, a wildlife expert says. So while I see geese as a nuisance and potential threats every time I walk past or I bike past them, this guy or gal doesn't think that Canada geese are getting enough credit for adapting. I guess this is something I never really thought about. Like, the animals, we often talk about endangered animals and animals who, you know, who are going to go extinct because of human action or human interaction or human inaction. And we feel often very sorry for those animals, but we rarely talk about the animals who have found ways to adapt and live within, like, this new reality that we have created for them. And I think, like, pigeons would fit in for that. Maybe squirrels, raccoons, foxes, and I guess birds probably. It's probably pretty easy for most birds because they can just avoid, as long as they can, like, dodge bullets, like, you know, and then avoid getting hit by planes and other and cars and stuff like that. But I thought it was interesting that there was a whole article about how geese have adapted to humans. However, they're adapting too well, and people are starting to find them a nuisance. And at one point, geese were on the endangered list here in BC. However, they have been, from people not hunting them, I guess, and eating them as much anymore, they've been able to call their numbers back to where now we consider them a pest. I only consider them a pest because they bite, but I have, like, a respect for them where I leave them alone and they leave me alone. But some people don't know any better. And I feel like we all know the type of people who don't know any better. Last week when I was in Toronto, I saw a woman pet a raccoon, and it's one of the weirdest experiences of my life. Something I'll never forget. I feel that people should respect animals enough to leave them alone, especially the ones that have learned to adapt to us. When we come back, we're going to talk about two girls in Burnaby who are not your typical Gen Z. Stay tuned.
Mm-hmm. Join us in celebrating the 40th year partnership between UBC and the United Way of the Lower Mainland. Our goal this year is to help 40,000 people in our community. Make sure to visit unitedway.ubc.ca to learn about us, our events, and how to get involved, because together, we are possibility.
Your price tag, there's a hope for you. On the watch that, yeah, I'm on work. If you want that, is your role be precise, yeah. So good, you miss your flight, yeah. So excited,
so excited, yeah.
Been waiting to get with you.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Can't send love through bitches.
No way, no way.
Get your chance, baby, don't miss it.
Let you take it, yeah.
I'm the best that you never had. I'm the best that you never had.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My little baby, change your price tag. That's a heartbreak. On the watch that. Yeah, I'm on work. If you want that. Is your role then?
Yeah, yeah.
Be precise,
yeah. Hey, yeah.
My little baby,
baby.
Change your life, yeah. That's a upgrade on your eyes, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Hey.
Oh yeah, yeah. Stop.
Yeah, yeah.
I need the bag.
I need the bag.
I can't go back.
Yeah.
I won't do that. Get it straight, nothing personal.
Yeah.
I choose myself, yeah, I'm first. Best that you never had.
Hey.
I'm the best that you never had.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My little baby,
ooh.
Change your price tag. That's a heartbreak.
Yeah.
On the watch that.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm on
work.
If you want that,
ooh.
Is your role
yeah, yeah.
Be precise.
Hey.
You're back at Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And one thing that we hear about like the younger generation of people is that they are like glued to the screens and they, you know, they don't like going outside. And it's like been a struggle to find things for them to do and things for them to be interested in. However, there were two young girls here in Burnaby who snuck out of their house, at a sleepover, and decided that they were going on a transit adventure using a hand-drawn map. And if you want to see the map, you can go on cbc.ca, or you can find it on the Vancouver Sun. These two girls, they wrote down their plan one. I'm sure that they had a plan two because it looks like they were pretty prepared. They got on the bus successfully. And when they got on the bus driver snitched and called the authorities, which helped them get back to their families, which is great. They got back to their families safe, safe and sound. However, like, I think going back to, you know, what we were talking about, this parenting thing. Well, I'm sure their parents went to sleep thinking that, like, I live in Burnaby. Like, you know, this sleepover, the kids will be all right. Go to sleep. You wake up to the police being like, oh, you know, we found your kids on the bus, especially with the map that they drew. It was terrible. Like, it was a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old girl. One, I thought 12-year-olds had cell phones now, and I felt like that there should have been like a little more planning, you know, maybe a little better map, maybe a little understanding of the bus route, because I know when I was 10 years old, I was taking a bus to, taking the bus home from school by myself. And so I feel that the map and at least the planning should have been a little better. However, I commend these young women for going outside. You know, I feel that far too often the parenting thing is difficult because obviously there's cougars around ready to pounce on your kids. But I just remember a story like 2 years ago. I have a little cousin, he's 15 years old now. And so 2 years ago, he was 13, and we were having a barbecue at my house. And we needed some playing cards because we wanted to play spades. So I tell my cousin, hey, walk up to the store, buy me some playing cards. And my aunt says, no, he can't walk to the store by himself. It's dangerous here. And it offended me for many reasons. One, it was a neighborhood where I grew up in, and I didn't think it was very dangerous. And two, I'm like, he's 13 years old. Like, why can't he walk into the store? I feel like that's what 13-year-olds are for, to do errands and chores that adults don't want to do. That's why you have a 13-year-old or 14-year-old around so that they can wash the dishes and take out the trash and mow the lawn, clean up the yard. What are the other chores? Start sending them in. I don't know. Maybe make the bed, clean the bathroom, clean the kitchen, mop the floors, sweep the floors, vacuum. Like all of those things that you don't want to do. That's why 12, 11, 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds exist, so that they can learn the hardships of life and adulting. So for those few years that they reside in that period, like your parents, you don't have to do it. And me being uncle or, you know, the big homie to the little cousins, you don't have to do it. However, wouldn't let him go to the store by himself. These girls decided that they were going to make an adventure out of a bus trip, and only to be disappointed by the bus driver. And what they're going to find out is that, you know, in a few years when they are allowed to take the bus by themselves, it's not all as cracked up to be. And the adventure feeling of taking the bus only lasts for about one trip, or until you have to go someplace and the bus doesn't show and you're late. Let's go into... So I was going to talk a little bit about how New Zealand banned foreign buyers. And that's really something that people think about should be done here, particularly the NDP premier says it won't happen. But the Green Party believes that it should happen. If you don't know, here in BC, one of the issues that people seem to constantly talk about is these foreign buyers driving up the housing prices here in British Columbia. And one thing that I believe is that, like, the problem is too far gone. Like, it's not as if banning foreign buyers now is going to bring home prices down to, like, a reasonable level where if you couldn't afford a home before, I mean, if you couldn't afford a home today, you know, in 2 or 3 years, you're going to be able to afford a home because they're going to drop in value so much. I don't think that home prices are ever going to come back down to reasonable levels. So I feel like it's almost like closing the gate after the horse is out of the barn. But this is still something that continues to be proposed by people. And there's lots of other people. There's lots of people smart enough to figure it out. They just don't want to. It's what I believe. However, this is one thing. As a former Catholic, this story is like very, it's not even like a highlight, but this is something that everybody seemingly knows. And I'm not sure if care about is the right word, but it I feel like if this continues to happen and nobody really does anything, I feel like people don't really care about it. This past week, a report came out from the grand jury in Pennsylvania, which shows over 300 accounts of sexual abuse by Catholic priests over basically since 1947. So 1,000 victims of over 300 predator priests is what this report called. And while most of these people, most of these priests are dead, and all of pretty much all of the cases have gone past their statute of limitations, this highlights just the issues that we have been talking about for decades. Because I feel like this was an issue when I was a kid, and I feel like if you read about the history, obviously this is an issue before that. It's just that Catholic priests have been sexually abusing kids, and then rather than go to jail, they just get moved. And one of the things that I thought about when I first read this report was that if we're not going to put them in jail, like, why are they still talking about it? And while I understand, you know, that earlier in the show, we say, like, yeah, you should continue to talk about, these things as they get highlighted, and these people in power need to be punished. And I believe people who abuse their powers really, really need to be punished, priests as well. However, we live in a world that almost let priests scapegoat, because I've never heard of a priest going to jail for touching a boy or a girl. And I feel that this report isn't going to change that, because one, this report doesn't mention or talk about abuses that are going on currently. This only talks about abuses going back to 1959, between 1959 and I think it's like 1980, because if the statute of limitations are up, then I presume these cases are over 10 years old. So what are they, like, it doesn't talk about anything about what they're doing now to protect kids and protect young kids from these predator priests. And this isn't just a Pennsylvania problem. This is like a world problem. Like, I read a story a few weeks ago while I was in Toronto about a man who was on a mission trip in Haiti, and it was like unlawful sex with minors, when that's really raped. He was on a mission trip and he raped, it was like almost nearly 30 boys while he was like in 2 weeks. That's crazy that people would allow that, and not just allow it, but like, if priests are allowed to do this without repercussion, I don't just say like that's simply allowing or turning the other cheek. It seems like very enabling, and I don't want to say encouraging, because I don't really know what they're talking about, you know, behind closed doors, but seems encouraging to me. Like, it seems like there's somebody who's saying that this is the way it is or should be, because what else would draw these people's behavior out like that? I don't know. It's just really effed up. Yeah, there's really nothing more to say besides that it's just messed up. And if we want to take these crimes more seriously, not just in like the public sphere, so not just like a 71-year-old massage therapist and people and these priests who are half dead, you know, and people at the end of their lives, like, we really need to take these things seriously today, and start sending people to jail, like making an example of these people and the people who are committing these crimes today. Get them out of the paint, and they need to be publicly jailed. What we when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about this Maryland football and just how abuse of power isn't just siloed like in these old places where people, you know, where they are targeting women and children, you know, some of the most vulnerable people in our society to these types of power. Like, this happens all over where you would think that men would be able to step up. But there's this power dynamic that really stops that. And so when we get back, we're going to talk about Maryland football, which we'll also talk about Ohio State football and just where we can, should, and should be doing better.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh, say, yeah, say, yeah, say. I've been cooking work on the east side. You ain't talking dollar signs, nigga, peace sign. It's a quarter past, can let you finna eat time. I be damned if a nigga finna eat mine. If your new shit's out, never be sides. Ain't never sure while I'm sitting seaside. Sipping my tie, beat side with my feet high. If a nigga talk greasy, get deep fried. You can't Airbnb the condo. You know my whole family ball, then I'm Lonzo. New Kang, new rank, get a poncho. She just wanna give head to the honcho. Nigga, fuck your side, nigga. On my back like Jordan went 4-5, nigga. Showing off in my city like a tour guide, nigga. Peep game like a legend sitting courtside, nigga. Got this bag over my shoulder, got these bags under my eyes. Trying to bag this little baggie, show me what's between them thighs. If they bagging on my name, guarantee they telling lies. Ask if I secure that bag, it should come as no surprise. I'm in my bag. Yeah. I've been cooking work on the east side. I'ma give you these bars that ain't free mine. And my flow from the heavens real divine. And my shorty kinda be like Kelly Divine. I just really want a little bit of me time. I've been free 2 years, no free time. Shoot 'em with a whole clip, then I rewind. Top five, so I gotta get a rewind. Mama's the motherfucking Brando. You gotta put me in a movie like Brando. Google Maps ain't no place that we can't go. I got a grip on everything you can't handle. This my side, bitch. Fuck your side, bitch. I've been talking shit, I think I found my niche. To anyone that wanna judge, I find my shit. Can't come around here without a tour guide, bitch. I got this bag over my shoulder. Got these bags under my eyes. Trying to bag this little baggie. Show me what's between them thighs. If they bagging on my name, guarantee they telling lies. Ask if I secure that bag. It should come as no surprise. I'm in my bag.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver's radio station. And so we were just talking about Catholic priests abusing power. And, like, I don't think that this is unique to Catholic priests. Like, we hear about different forms of abuse in other churches, like, you know, churches, you know, ministers driving in Bentleys and taking, you know, and buying private jets and living in mansions while their congregation, you know, is struggling to eat and is poor and destitute. And, you know, these people continue to take money. I remember last year when I was in Houston and there was the hurricane and Joel Osteen wouldn't open up his church to let people in so that they could find shelter, you know, as they were fleeing the hurricane. These people who have been put on this pedestal in our society to help people and put in this position of power, you know, refusing to take the responsibility. And so it begs to ask, like, what are they good for? But it's not just it's not just religion where we see like this power being abused, but also in our corporations and in our sports. So if you have ever heard of Tinder, Tinder is a app, is a dating app, and I feel like it's been very popular for like years now. And there's a story about a story just released where a lawsuit filed by 10 current and former Tinder executives accused their former CEO, Greg Blatt, of groping and sexually harassing a vice president of the company. The suit claims that Tinder's corporate parent did nothing about the incident because Blatt was a public figure in this plan and it was trying to protect the company's assets by not having these accusations go public, as in to protect like the stock price. And so you see where these there's like incentive to hide these crimes, and when it's not an incentive to hide these crimes, it's like a monetary incentive where people's like bodies have been basically there's been a dollar figure assigned, and not to harm the public image, because this presumably this man, like, there's something to be gained from not saying anything, which is the whole reason why people don't come forward about these sexual assaults or these assaults in general, is that they are always protecting the man and indirectly the larger organization. And so it's the same thing with this football team in the University of Maryland. 2 months ago, Jordan McNair, he is a player for the University of Maryland, and he died during a workout from heat stroke. And he didn't die during the workout. He died like 2 hours after he started exhibiting symptoms of heat stroke and bodily organ failure, which is absolutely terrible. And so, as a football coach, it's 100% unnecessary. Like, that is something that could have been prevented. And it's really sad that Jordan McNair's family, you know, will not be like able to, you know, hug their son, or he would never be able to come back home, because it's 100% avoidable. And when you read about the culture that DJ Durkin, who is the current Maryland head football coach, you know, has created at University of Maryland, you can understand like that how you it's hard to understand how it got this far, really. You know, like forcing people to eat, you know, while watching like others exercise, you know, like people are under who are overweight, like basically like starving his players. Clearly, Jordan McNair, he was suffering from a workout in the intense heat. I don't know if you've ever been to Maryland in the summertime, but not only is it hot as shit, but it's also humid. And so when this kid who's – because Jordan – I feel like when we think about college athletes, we like to think of them as adults, but like looking back – at it, like the oldest player on my team when I was in college was 24, and we looked at that dude like he was a grandfather. If you played on my football team, you would know exactly what we're talking about. Like, we looked at him, we called him old man, and he was only 24. And like, essentially, and when I talk to a 24-year-old right now, I'm like, man, you don't know shit. But there's essentially kids, and so people, parents trust these adults with their kids to do what's best for them, and which is absolutely backwards, because when we look at football coaches, particularly college football coaches, for the most part, they only have what's best for them, because for them it's a job. But when we talk about for the kids, it's not supposed to be looked at like a job, like they're amateurs. And so they have misaligned incentives where the coach is trying to maximize, you know, profit basically for himself. Like the coach, like you think of the football team as a corporation, the coach is trying to maximize profit and trying to basically squeeze out as much output from his employees, which is his players, as possible, you know, while finding different ways to motivate them to produce what he needs, which it wins, which wins turn into money. And sometimes very directly, like I'm sure this DJ Durkin has in his contract, if he wins 10 games, he'll probably get a bonus. If he goes to a bowl game, he probably gets a bonus. So these wins directly turn into cash for the coaches. But for the players, there's really the incentive is that, like, do you love football? Okay, like that means then you want to be good. And that means you're willing to do whatever you want, because the profit for you is you want to play and maybe go to the NFL, but really playing and winning are byproducts of loving to play and working hard. But there's no cash incentive to play. So these incentives are misaligned. So when we hear about these like these stories where these coaches are abusing their players, is because one, these coaches suck, and two, they really don't understand how to maximize their output from their players. And so we see this abuse happen over and over. And when you look at a school like Maryland, you're like, okay, but what are you doing it for? Because your football team's not even good. Like, what is all this worth? Is this, like, you know, it is a high quality academic institution where the football should be 100% secondary, and nobody should die in practice because of it. Football is dangerous enough already. But we see, with this example and then with this Tinder example, this is not just siloed in priestdom, but also in positions where other people have in power. And there's something, there's like this golden thread that really connects all of these leaders, and I just can't put my finger on it, but I don't know, if you look at this Tinder executive and this football coaches and you look at these priests, you like, maybe you can figure it out. Another individual who has been abusing his power is the president of the United States. And I think it's interesting. I don't want to talk about what he's been abusing or what he hasn't been doing. But there, for the past few days, people have been talking about this video where Trump may or may not say the word nigger. And I feel that I don't really understand. I feel that it's pretty stupid to wait for a tape. A tape of someone saying nigger is obviously way worse than just understanding that they have racist policies and racist ideologies, and then their actions of what they do are racist. Like, I feel that setting like the bar so low for being racist that you have to hear someone say the word nigger on tape, on not even audio tape, but probably like a videotape, and you have to see him saying it for people to finally believe that, hey, maybe the president is racist. And I feel like how insulting is that to like any minority or anybody who belongs in a group where there's like a slur created just to dehumanize you, where like the policies and like seeing how you get treated and just everything that goes about it is not enough. It's not enough for some white people to get behind you and really understand that this person might be a racist, that they have to see them use the slur on camera. The bar is set too low. PSA, we talk about legalizing marijuana all the time. In Connecticut, over 40 people overdosed in a 30-minute period by smoking K2. K2 is like synthetic marijuana. Stop smoking that shit and legalize marijuana so people can stop smoking synthetic marijuana. It's stupid. And people won't die. Like, I've seen people go crazy from smoking that. It's a health risk. I feel like it's stupid. If you're listening and you have some power to change that, or you can vote and go change that this fall, you should do that. But thanks for tuning in for the hour. If you want to catch old episodes, you can find it on mixcloud.com/offthebeatenpath or facebook.com/otbp20xx. Or if you like the music, you can follow me on Spotify. Every month there's a playlist of new music. You should check it out. Next week, we're going to have Jay Smoke talking about his podcast, Destination Limitless. Tune in. You won't want to miss that for sure, especially if you need some motivation to get your ass up and do something that you have always been wanting to do. Listen, he will provide that. Thanks for tuning in. We do this every Thursday, 7 a.m. I'm out.